Man, it kills me to have to turn that off. That was good. I think that must have been Tony Valdez, our new news guy. I think he does it on Thursdays. Yes, Thursdays at 6. News amusetainment or whatever he calls it. Something about music and news. Anyway, he's a new and welcome member of Kill Radio. So it's 6 o'clock. It's Tuesday, and I'm John, and I'm doing the news right now. I'm all alone. My co-host, Maria, nowhere to be seen. No plans, no idea what I'm doing. I guess I'll just start with the whatchamacallit, Iraq body count for today. This is from iraqbodycount.net. Number of civilians reported killed by military intervention in Iraq, minimum 37,848, maximum 42,216. I don't know when I started doing the news. I guess it was a couple of months ago. What, maybe? Because I didn't start right away. I started Kill Radio in like July, and then I think I started doing the news like in October or something like that, in November. Anyway, since then, according to Iraq Body Count, at least 11,000 people, civilians rather, 11,000 civilians have been reported killed by military intervention in Iraq. Ain't that something? Here's a media file. See if it
Man,
plays.
you hear this bullshit they be talking every day, man. It's like these motherfuckers is just like professional liars, you know what I'm saying? It's wild. Listen. Bin Laden didn't blow up projects. It was yo, nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up projects. It was yo, nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
I pledge no allegiance, nigga. Fuck the president's speeches. I'm baptized by America and covered in leeches. The dirty water that bleaches your soul and your facial features, drowning you in propaganda that they spit through the speakers. And if you speak about the evil that the government does, the Patriot Act to track you to the type of your blood, they try to frame you and say you was trying to sell drugs and throw a federal indictment on niggas to show you love. This shit is run by fake Christians, fake politicians. Look at their mansions and look at the conditions you live in. All they talk about is terrorism on television. They tell you to listen, but they don't really tell you their mission. They funded Al-Qaeda and now they blame the Muslim religion. Even though Bin Laden was a CIA tactician, they gave him billions of dollars and they funded his purpose. Fahrenheit 9/11, that's just scratching the surface.
Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was yo, nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was yo, nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush
say the rebels in Iraq still fight for Saddam, but that's bullshit. I show you why it's totally wrong, cause if another country invaded the hood tonight, it'd be warfare through Harlem and Washington Heights. I wouldn't be fighting for Bush or white America's dream. I'd be fighting for my people's survival and self-esteem. I wouldn't fight for racist churches from the south, my nigga. I'd be fighting to keep the occupation out, my nigga. You ever clock someone who talks shit and look at you wrong? Imagine if they shot at you and was raping your moms. And of course Saddam Hussein had chemical weapons. We sold them that shit after Ronald Reagan's election. Mercenary contractors fighting a new era. Corporate military banking off the war on terror. They controlling the ghetto with the fear of attack. Trying to distract the fact that they engineering the crack. So I'm strapped like Lee Malvo holding a sniper rifle. These bullets will touch your kids. And I don't mean like Michael. Your body be sent to the morgue, stripped down and recycled. I fire on house niggas that support you and like you. Cause innocent people get murdered in the struggle daily. And poor people never forget shit and struggle daily. This ain't no alien conspiracy theory. This shit is real. Written on a dollar underneath the Masonic seal.
Y'all don't rap for dead presidents. I'd rather see the president dead. It's never been said, but I set precedents.
Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was yo, nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up the projects. It was yo, nigga.
City records was 80 seconds away from the tower. Some cowards fought with the wrong building. They Hello.
Hello.
Hello, we're on the air. Let me fix the little microphone-y situation here. All right, can I hear me? That's good. So, yes, so I'm joined on the phone by Kill Radio DJ and Happy Pants extraordinaire, Zen Sincero. Say hello.
How are ya?
I'm good. What possessed me to call you today?
What possessed you? I don't know. I think people should be possessed to call me every day.
What show do you do? It's Dr. Happy Pants. It's on Sundays, right?
Yeah, Sunday for 4 to 5.
You're asking me?
Yeah, I am.
yeah, looking at the schedule right now, 4 to 5. That looks
thank
right.
you. That's why I called.
you posted something to the list the other day that I thought was interesting that you might want to share with us. Called the Peace Alliance. No, that's not.
Yeah, no, it is. It's sort of two things in one. It's the organization is called the Peace Alliance, and we're trying to get a bill passed that's to get a Department of Peace.
Oh, here we go. I got the website up now. It's
cool.
thepeacealliance.org. And, yeah, it says, the Peace Alliance campaign to establish U.S. Department of Peace. And this is California Department of Peace regional conference coming up this June 23rd to the 25th.
Yeah.
So what would a Department of Peace do?
The Department of Peace would be sort of like the opposite of the Department of War or Defense or whatever. And what it would do is have a department that comes up with peaceful solutions to stuff, and it's not just so that we don't obliterate the entire Earth with nuclear weapons, but, mm-hmm. I mean, that would be part of the plan, but it also has a lot to do with domestic stuff, like using ways that have been proven to work to stop gang violence and to help with domestic violence, which is like the number one thing that police then get called out on, and there's so little attention to proven methods of working with this stuff, and that's sort of the Department of Peace would also have a school to teach people how to use nonviolent communication methods.
Now, would this be a regular department of the government, like mm-hmm. Health and Human Services and
yeah.
Defense, and it would work alongside the other departments?
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it wouldn't cost that much. Like, it costs about 2% of what we cost on military spending and stuff like that, so it's inexpensive, and if you cannot go to war, that's a lot cheaper, too. And it sounds, when I first got involved, I was a little put off by how hippy-dippy it sounded, quite honestly, but it just makes so much sense, and that's why I got really involved with
it. Well, what was the thing, like, when you first got involved, what was the thing that really changed your mind, that made you think this was something possible?
Well, I heard about it first. I went to hear Marianne Williamson speak. Have you ever heard her?
No.
She's amazing. She's amazing, amazing, amazing. She has a bunch of books out, and she was giving one of her talks. She travels all over the place and speaks. And she's actually going to be speaking at the big event that we're having in June.
Mm-hmm.
But she's one of the founders of the Peace Alliance, and she and a bunch of other people came up with this idea for the Department of Peace. And she was just giving a talk on it, and it sounded amazing. And I find myself so very hopeless in this crazy world that we're living in, and this is sometimes you feel so helpless also, and this is just something that I feel like I could dig my teeth into and actually work on and feel good about and feel like I'm making a difference.
You don't think things are going just fine?
There's a couple things. I got a couple problems.
Got a couple of
did
issues?
I miss something? Did something happen?
Why do you love terrorism?
Why do I love terrorism?
Why do you hate America?
Let me count the ways. All right. So it's really cool.
And this sounds very interesting. How can other people get involved? Just by going to the conferences, or is there a way people can participate?
Well, the best way is to go to thepeacealliance.org, and that will hook you up with the Department of Peace. The main function of the Peace Alliance at the moment is to get this Department of Peace into the government. And they can come to our most excellent Big Fat Weekend on June 22nd through the 24th. June 23rd through the 25th. Sorry.
Yes, that's Friday the 23rd to Sunday the 25th.
Exactly. And on Friday night, it starts at 6 o'clock. That's when Marianne Williamson is going to speak. And I highly recommend it. She's awesome, and she's just this tiny little woman who just Really? Pax a big punch-a-rooney.
Yeah, the website here calls her internationally known author, political visionary, and spiritual advisor to the Oprah Show.
She's a spiritual advisor to Jen Sincero, which I think is more important than
yes.
the Oprah Show. Then there's Azim Khamisa, who's CEO of the Tariq Khamisa Foundation, and he delivers school programs that demonstrably, is that a word?
Demonstrably
reduce gang involvement of youth. I don't know if that's the word. I'm going to look that up.
I think it's demonstratively.
Demonstrably. Oh, because yeah, you're right. All right. Maybe if you say it right, it's a word. Anyway, it's going to be awesome, and it's all weekend long. And then the next day, on Saturday all day, they're having some pro of nonviolent communication teach people how to use those methods. And it'll just be very educational and inspirational and make you happy that there are people like this in the world.
Now, you mentioned there's an emphasis on domestic violence and things like that, like peace at home.
Mm-hmm.
But is most of the discussion really about war and how to avoid or stop war?
It actually isn't. I thought it was going to, but it's actually more about national stuff, about stuff that's going on in this country and just cleaning up our mess. That is part of it, is deflecting war if possible, but a bigger part is just domestic violence is just raging and gang violence and all that stuff, and there are ways that have been proven that work, and so they really want to just get that going and get funding for those programs to stop it.
Do you know if this the Peace Alliance has a slant on gun regulation? Because that seems sort of inexorably tied to the whole violence at home issue.
Right. I don't know their actual stand on it, but I would assume that they're probably not too into it. Into guns. Yeah.
Is the major hurdle here just convincing the government that it's financially viable?
That we're not a bunch of tofu-eating hippies?
Yeah.
Yes. And the thing is, it's a really young organization, so we're still sort of getting our poop in a scoop, trying to gather statistics and get everything together. But, financially it makes sense because it's not going to cost that much money to put this in the damn government. And
right, and the financial savings from having less violent crime.
Right, exactly. And what speaks louder than that? Savings here in America. So.
And would the head of this department be appointed by the president, like other departments?
Yes. Which is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Actually, you know what? I can't say yes.
I wonder who Bush's appointment of the Department of Peace would be.
Bin Laden? I don't know. I know, exactly. That's what's a little shaky about it. It's like, okay, if we work our asses off to get it in, and then he puts someone in there.
Right, and then there's like a peace officer in every home.
Yeah. Or like he would put somebody in there who was, deaf, dumb, and blind in a vegetative state.
Right. Well, that's actually how they do operate. They build programs and then they underfund them so that they fail, so that they can then go back and say, see, I told you we didn't need this program.
Exactly. Yeah, so he ought to love this. So
again, I guess on the, rather than just being cynical and pessimistic and armchair liberals, people should actually go ahead and get involved.
Exactly.
And one of the ways they can do that is to, do you have to buy tickets to go to this? You have to register by May 31st.
Register by May 31st, and then it's only $50. But just to hear Marianne Williamson speak alone is usually that much money. And this way you get a whole 3 days of speakers and stuff. So
right. In addition to those two people that you mentioned, Marianne Williamson, Azim Khamisa, there's also Lynn McMullen, conference facilitator, and she's a 20-year social activist and humanitarian. That
she's
sounds nice.
Amazing. She's one of, a lot of people who do a lot of speaking do it because they have tons of charisma. She's amazing, amazing, amazing. And they're all kind of funny, too, which is good, so it's not as boring.
Cool. And who's it? Miki Kashtan, a certified trainer in nonviolent communications.
Right.
That sounds interesting,
and that's
too.
Who's going to be giving this stuff on Saturday, just teaching everybody really cool stuff. So.
And this is held at the Courtyard Marriott in the Valley, in Sherman Oaks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's local.
It's local. It's easy to get to. And, call and get a ticket now because ticket sales goes up to $60 after May 31st. So you really need to get in there now if you want to save a little money.
Do you, participate in regular activities with them? Or, besides the conferences and the talks, do they have, local chapters that have meetings and things like that?
I am the district leader for my congressional district. I'm District 31. Anybody who has Xavier Becerra should be in my group. But yeah, we have meetings once a month with all the district leaders, and I have meetings once a month with all my people in my area.
What are your responsibilities as district leader?
Oh, way more than I can do at the moment.
Oh, yeah?
Well, yeah.
Worse than Kill Radio?
Kill Radio takes up so much of my time, you see, that it's very hard for me to get the Peace Alliance stuff off the ground. But plus, I don't have that many people coming to my meetings, so sometimes it can get kind of lonely. So you guys, seriously, if you're interested, go to the peacealliance.org website, and it conveniently has a whole page. If you want to figure out what district you're in, you can type in your zip code and your address, and it'll tell you. And if you are District 31, that's the Happy Pants district, so let me know. But our main thing now is getting our local government to co-sign the bill, to co-sponsor the bill, and just get as many people in the government involved in it as possible so we look legit and can get it going.
Well, excellent. I wish you the best of luck helping to pass this bill in Congress to create a cabinet-level U.S. Department of Peace. I'm reading this off the website. You can do something practical and concrete to reduce violence. And this is the first ever statewide meeting for the California Volunteers. Jen, thank you so much for sharing this information with us.
Thank you so much for having me on, John.
Cool. Talk to you
soon. Talk to you later. Bye.
That was Kill Radio DJ Jen Sincero. You can listen to her sex advice show, Dr. Happy Pants, on Sundays at 4 o'clock here at killradio.org. And again, that website, thepeacealliance.org, www.thepeacealliance.org. And it's a campaign to establish a U.S. Department of Peace, which is very interesting. I wish them well. Click on a couple of things here on their website. What's new at the California Department of Peace? Take a look at some of this legislation overview and need. Oh, you need to register on the website to get this information, which is unfortunate because this show is live. And here we go. So here's a list of organizational endorsements of the legislation to create a U.S. Department of Peace. AfterDowningStreet.org, Amnesty International, perhaps you've heard of them, American Voices Abroad, Begun Center for Violence Prevention and Education, Buddhist Peace Fellowship, Center for Nonviolent Communications, Code Pink, Communities of Peace Foundation, Democrats.com, Fellowship of Reconciliation, Global AIDS Alliance, Global Exchange, Global Youth Action Network, Humanity and Unity, International Trauma Healing Institute, Musicians and Fine Artists for World Peace, National Organization for Women, Pathways to Peace, Peace Action, Peace is Every Step, Physicians for Social Responsibility, September 11th, Families for Peaceful Tomorrows, School Mediation Center, Tikkun, United Religious Initiative, Veterans for Peace, Holistic Peace Institute, and yes, Youth for Environmental Sanity, to list but a few of the people who think we should have a U.S. Department of Peace. Again, that website is www.thepeacealliance.org. Check it out. Get involved. Do something interesting with your life. Something better than what I'm doing right now in the Kill Radio studio. Passing the time. So, what else do we have here? Studies on obesity. Interesting. This is from the Associated Press. Older American teenagers living in poverty. Living in poverty have grown fatter at a higher rate than their peers, according to research that seems to underscore the unequal burden of obesity on the nation's poor. That's some pretty interesting shit, actually, when we think about it. I've been to Brazil, and there, the poorer you are, really, like, the skinnier you are. And it seems the opposite in this country, because the poor here have access to food, but the food they have access to is of the lowest quality, the highest fat content, the least amount of fiber, and the most amount of carbs and calories. Today, the percentage of adolescents aged 15 to 17 who are overweight is about 50% higher in poor as compared to non-poor families, a difference that has emerged recently, said Johns Hopkins sociologist Richard Meech, study's lead author. Obesity rates among all teens climbed substantially during the study, which covered 30 years, but the great divide, according to income, occurred most notably among the 15 to 17-year-old age group. That led one outside expert to challenge the findings. Rand Corp economist Roland Sturm said it seems implausible that younger teens would differ so much from older teens. Even if they do, he said, it seems a rather secondary issue compared to the general trend in weight gain across all youth. Meech argued that older teens generally have more autonomy to buy what they want to determine their own activity levels, which he said might explain the results. And Sturm and other experts said the study's underlying message about obesity and poverty is sound. The study appears in Wednesday's Journal of the American Medical Association. It is based on data from 10,800 youngsters ages 12 to 17 who participated in four nationally representative health surveys conducted from 1971 to 2004. The researchers determined poverty levels using family income and the U.S. Census Bureau's poverty threshold. Does anybody know what that is these days? It's something like 12,000 a year or something like that. I could be way off, though. I think it's 14,000 a year. Might be more. In the early 1970s, about 4% of poor youngsters ages 15 to 17 were severely overweight, compared with about 5% of teens who weren't poor. By the early 2000s, those rates jumped to 23% of the poor and 14% of the other kids, the researchers said. Results contrast with recent research suggesting that while the poor are most likely to be overweight, obesity rates among U.S. adults have climbed fastest in recent decades among those with annual salaries over $60,000. Meech said both could be right because eating and exercise habits are different for adults and adolescents. Over the past decade, the percentage of calories from sweetened drinks has grown by more than 20% among kids in the 15 to 17 age group. An increase concentrated among the poor, he said. So what they're saying is that the percentage of calories that this teenage group takes in, of calories that come exclusively from sweetened drinks, has grown by more than a fifth. We also find that physical inactivity increases with age in adolescence, as well as the probability of skipping breakfast, said Meech. Both these factors are more likely to be found among the poor and are also associated with the overweight. I'm starting to feel bad because I played Xbox almost all day today. Don't tell anyone. I realize this is going out on the internet airwaves. And let's see. All five of you are listening, but I really was not very active today. On the other hand, where'd this file go? There we go. Where was I? Economic differences have been linked to other health problems, too, including AIDS, cardiovascular disease, and some cancers. Disproportionate rates emerge as wealthier people seek medical care and make lifestyle changes. Right. Like stapling their stomachs. While the poor do not, said Barry Popkin, a nutrition scientist at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Go Tar Heels! The study shows that this trend is emerging in late adolescence and just building into adulthood, Popkin said. The results also show the need for healthful resources in low-income neighborhoods, said Dr. Rebecca Unger, a Chicago pediatrician who works with a group seeking to lower obesity rates among Chicago children. Adam Drunowski, a University of Washington researcher, said the disparity will persist unless the underlying problem, poverty, is also addressed. The campaign against obesity and the struggle against poverty are, in fact, one and the same, he said. Healthier diets cost more, he said, and access to physical activity depends on how much money you've got. You know what? That's actually an interesting point, because my fiancé and I have recently decided to eat healthier. I actually haven't eaten any fast food other than Subway since, what was it, 2005. Well, December 2004. So it's been a good year and a half. I try to do a lot of cooking. But the reason I bring it up is I noticed I go to the grocery store a lot, and I buy a lot of fresh fruit and vegetables and stuff like that. And shit is expensive, yo. When you consider that 99 cents can get you a fucking meal at McDonald's, sure, it might kill you or make you retarded or something, but it'll fill you up for an hour until you got to go get more. Sorry, I'm a little down on fast food right now because I just read Fast Food Nation, which I recommend to anyone. It's an excellent book, not just because it shows how horrible the fast food industry really is and the way that it operates, but it shows how awful the Republicans are too. And they are truly, truly awful. Anyway, yeah, this kind of makes sense, this article. It's disturbing. But yeah, this fight against poverty and against obesity are connected. And I just read an article recently about how fat this country is. And it's really, really, really fat. So let's move on to a media file. This from Thursday, May 18th, truthout.org. Over 40,000 petition signatures against war with Iran. Iran's the country that's like Iraq, but we haven't invaded them yet. Were delivered to the White House. Following the delivery of the petitions, Ray McGovern and Cindy Sheehan led a march to Donald Rumsfeld's house. Four people were arrested trying to deliver a message to the Secretary of Defense. And all things going as planned, Donald Rumsfeld will have to negotiate with the chief of the U.S. Department of Peace, once we get a U.S. Department of Peace. And then they'll sit down and they'll have coffee, an arm wrestle or something. So anyway, here's the media file from truthout.org. And hopefully it's watchable. Let's give it a shot. You're listening to killradio.org. Oh, come on now. Let's try that again.
Oh. Use chemical weapons or weapons of mass destruction. Only our leaders do that. And we Americans repudiate the war crimes and crimes against humanity that are being waged against our brothers and sisters in Iraq. Now they're starting the rhetoric of Iran, and that has to stop before it even starts. After this rally, we'd like you to come with us, and we're going to deliver 42,000 signatures to the White House, demanding that they do not invade and kill our innocent brothers and sisters in Iran.
McGovern, one of the members of the steering group of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. I'm here because we're so worried about the administration going off half-cocked again, this time biting off much too much to chew, namely Iran. There are indications that we already have some military in Iran, and I think this needs to be fleshed out, and people need to ask, under whose authority are we already invading Iran? Today we're going to leave here in a joyful, orderly way and march up to the Secretary of Defense's home up there about 3 miles and try to ask him why it was that he lied to us into Iraq and what justification he has or by what authority he has sent not only special forces but U.S. Marines into Iran.
This is Scott Galindez for truthout.org. I'm outside Donald Rumsfeld's house, where people have gathered demanding a meeting with Rumsfeld.
We're going to ask your boss a question, and it's this. By what authority do you have U.S. troops in Iran, even now? By what authority do intend to perpetrate war on Iran?
Everybody's been killed when they move.
Who told you to do that? Was it Cheney or was it Bush?
Was it Pearl?
Or was it Pearl or Wolfowitz? The whole crowd. We're not going to let you do that. We're going to hold you accountable. And when Congress wakes up, which I think might be very clear, very soon, we're going to stop this war, and we're going to have Congress do our bidding as they should as our representatives. Donald, the jig is up.
War criminal! War criminal!
What are you doing?
Well, we're here in Northwest Washington, D.C., because he's responsible for the deaths of thousands of Americans and hundreds of thousands of Iraqis because he lied. He lied repeatedly. And we are trying to speak with him, leave a note for him, somehow communicate to him what the American people feel about his lies and how many times he's lied to the American public. And they aren't letting us in. So we're saying that we're going to sit here until we get an opportunity to get a message to Donald Rumsfeld of how we actually feel, and that the people of America do not want people dying every day in our names.
A few minutes ago, four people were arrested attempting to get to Donald Rumsfeld's door. They had to jump through the bushes, where they were immediately met by the Secret Service.
Stop damaging the plan!
Back, and I'm joined with a real live person. I got not quite. Let's see. We're getting nothing out of that mic. Why is that? Is it maybe it's there we go.
Hello,
Maria.
How are you?
Do you have another public transportation adventure?
Yes, it was quite an adventure. I took the bus that went... It actually went through Beverly Hills and the Sunset Strip, which was a really nice area. But I guess everyone wanted to travel that way today, so... Because traffic was backed up. Not to mention the fact the bus was falling apart, so...
Yeah?
Yeah, it was quite interesting getting jerked around on that bus.
Yeah, you look like you've been through a bit of an ordeal today. Well, you can relax now because it's just the news.
Oh, okay, just the news. Yeah. Just the news. That's
so,
all. Oh gosh.
So anything happened today? I interviewed our own Kill Radio's own Jen Sincero on the phone at the top of the hour. We talked about this thing she's involved with called the Peace Alliance, thepeacealliance.org, which is a campaign to establish a U.S. Department of Peace. That would work alongside the other departments, defense and health and so on and so forth.
Oh, that's a good idea.
With the focus being primarily on domestic peace, putting an end to domestic violence and things like that, but also with kind of an anti-war bent. Mm-hmm. And they're having a big conference of all the California volunteers in the Valley on June 23rd. People can go to thepeacealliance.org and buy tickets, and there's some very influential speakers.
Oh, wow. So. That sounds pretty cool. And how much are the tickets to go to
tickets,
that?
If you get them before May 31st, they're $50. And after May 31st, they're $60. Okay. But the speakers are pretty well known. And usually you would pay, like, if you were into that sort of thing, you would probably pay, like, $50 just to see one of them. And this is, like, this is more than four speakers.
And is that on a weekend?
It is. It's a three-day event from Friday through Sunday. And if I bring up the website here, and Marianne Williamson is the keynote speaker, and then there are some other speakers whose, for some reason I'm not seeing it. Ah, there it is, content. Internet's a little slow today. Here we go. Marianne Williamson, Azim Kamisa, Lynn McMullen, and Miki Kashtan are the speakers. All rather influential people in the nonviolent pro-peace world. So.
Well, that sounds really, really interesting. I look forward to that. It sounds like fun. And $50 isn't much, I guess, for a three-day event.
No. That's... No, it's not. I went to a two-day event on mental illness once. That was $200.
Oh, did that drive you crazy?
Yeah, I think it came out of the experience worse than I went into it. But, hey, that's how the cookie crumbles. So what kind of news did you bring us today? I always look forward to what... You're a good litmus test for what actually matters.
Oh,
I just read an article about obesity in poor teenagers being worse than obesity, statistically, than obesity in non-poor teenagers.
Did you think McDonald's has something to do with that?
Well, yeah, the argument was made in the article that, first of all, at that age, you don't have too much... choice. You don't really have too much autonomy, like, in how much activity you get involved in, mm-hmm. and when, where you eat. And then also, like, yeah, obviously, you know, if you can get a meal at McDonald's for $2, or you can get $7 worth of ingredients and cook something.
Right.
So.
And you never know what you're getting at McDonald's in that food. What do they
just
put
in that? Just a bunch of animals in a blender with some milk.
An
but, you know, I just think it's interesting, though, that it's such a uniquely American idea that being obese would be representative of being poor. Mm. In every other country, you would assume that the poorest of the poor would be the skinniest. But in this country, the poor still have access to food. It just happens to be the lowest grade, unhealthiest food.
Right. That's true. I mean, Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, places like that are very expensive, and it seems like you almost have to shop in those places if you want to get foods that aren't, you know, just full of chemicals and aspartame, which they're saying so many bad things about right now.
Really? Because I'm a big diet. I actually have a can of diet soda.
Oh, no.
I just
you're
finished.
Poisoning yourself.
I'm such a NutraSweet junkie. Is it bad for you?
It's
is it true?
Very, very bad.
How's it bad for you?
Well, I don't have all the details in front of me, but it supposedly acts like a drug. It's addictive. There have been cases of people who've had withdrawal effects from serious.
Well, I know it contains a chemical called phenylalanine, and there are some people called this is. I don't know how I ended up with this useless information. Probably because I've been drinking diet soda since I was a kid, and I decided to look it up one day. There are people called. If you look on every soda bottle, I bet it's even on that one over there. It says phenylketonurics warning contains phenylalanine. And there are certain people who have certain kinds of brains. They call them they call them phenylketonurics, and it's kind of like an allergy to phenylalanine, which is chemical that's in aspartame.
Okay.
And they're just highly allergic to it, but in a brain sort of way, like it makes you pass out immediately. And I had a friend who was a phenylketonuric, and I was amazed because it's very rare, but it's I guess it's not so rare because they put it on the can, and she said she. She did a little demonstration for me. She took a piece of sugarless chewing gum and chewed it and then appeared to grow faint.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then spat it out.
She was okay. To demonstrate the effect that it had. Just that tiny little amount and a little piece of gum, just a couple of chews, and she was already, her balance was like off.
Oh, gosh. Well, yeah, I mean, and I guess people with certain kinds of health problems, their health problems get exacerbated to a very severe degree, and they can get very, very sick. And I guess apparently there have been cases of people having severe withdrawal symptoms when trying to stop taking an aspartame. And I guess there was a lawsuit. I don't know whether it's still going on or not, but it was on the East Coast. Some people were trying to sue to stop aspartame from being put in foods because it's put in a lot of foods and it's not always labeled.
That's not cool.
Yeah, and a lot of foods will say natural flavoring or artificial flavoring, and it's actually aspartame. So you can't always tell if there's aspartame in the foods.
See, I thought they were required by law to say that because of the phenylalanine. I like saying that word.
Yeah.
Because of the phenylalanine problem.
Now say that word again.
Yeah. Phenylalanine. It's probably phenylalanine.
Phenylalanine.
I thought, because you see it on all the soda cans, stuff like that, mm-hmm. you know, warning mm-hmm. contains.
And of course, the Bush administration is trying to eliminate food labeling so that
like
we
altogether. Yeah.
Right.
In the future. And I actually saw this in a movie once. We'll just have, like, at the grocery store, there'll just be cans that say meat on
oh,
it.
Really?
And other cans that say vegetables. And
And you don't even know if it really is meat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or vegetable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
What was it? I think it was... Oh, no. This was like a weird memory from when I was a kid. But yeah, there was this miniseries. It was called The Other World. And it's about this family, and they cross some, you know, fifth dimension threshold or whatever into mm-hmm. this other world where everything mm-hmm. is all kind of kooky and weird. Mm-hmm. And I think the punchline in the end was like Planet of the Apes. Like it was, you know, Earth of the Future or something like that. But yeah, in the grocery stores, they had cans of meat. And there's this mm-hmm. guy like eating some. And the kid, the star of the show, was like, you know, what is it? Like, what kind of meat? And, mm-hmm. and the guy who was eating, he's like, what do you mean, what kind of meat? It's meat.
Oh, dear. So that's our future, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I don't know. I'll be honest. I've been eating... Yeah, I mean, I've seen the things about saccharin and how it causes cancer. And mm-hmm. and I've been taking in NutraSweet since I was a wee lad. But
oh, no.
Well, but usually, I mean, aren't those things sometimes blown a little bit out of proportion? Like where they're, you know, they're pumping a rat with like 600 times its body weight full of the stuff. And of course, it's going to mm-hmm. cause some health problem.
Well, that's possible. But, you know, look at the number of people who get cancer and who are getting all kinds of diseases like Alzheimer's disease, which didn't used to exist. And I mean, it kind of like. Poses the question, why do we have these diseases now? They're coming to take me away.
Well, yeah, if for no other reason than our immune systems have been shut down and damaged with a lot of these foods. Like, we may not be getting sick as a direct result of the foods, but we mm-hmm. may be getting sick as an indirect result of the foods that we eat.
What's also interesting, too, is there are alternatives to aspartame, such as stevia, which comes from a plant that grows in South America, and agave. But for some reason, the government's been preventing some of those items from being readily available. I mean, stevia you can buy at the store, but for a long time, it was not allowed. For wow. it to be sold. And now, apparently, from what I understand, it can be sold in stores, but the companies are not allowed to label it as a sweetener for coffee or tea.
Okay.
So, you know, even though it's a very a viable alternative to aspartame, and it's all natural. And so there's some speculation that the large corporations, you know, don't want to be, you know, they don't want to lose their business. And, of course, this would also help the economy in South America, I think.
Well, we can't do that.
It were... Right.
We can't do that. We got to make sure that the only thing they can produce is coca leaves. Right. That's how we keep them under control.
Oh, and by the way, you were talking about the war on drugs. And Thomas Hartman on his show, tomhartman.com, he was talking about this. And he speculated that... the reason why our government perhaps did not want drugs to be legalized in Mexico might be that a lot of wealthy people from the United States would be traveling to Mexico to buy drugs and therefore helping the Mexican economy.
They were talking, he was talking about that on the, I don't know if it was Jon Stewart's show or Stephen Colbert's show, it was one of them where they were talking about the recent, you know, decriminalization of drugs in Mexico and how mm-hmm. it would solve our illegal immigration process. Because while immigrants from Mexico would come in to take the low-paying jobs mm-hmm. of Americans, mm-hmm. poor Americans would be going to Mexico to get drugs. So it would even out. So there wouldn't be a population increase. We'd have the same amount of people.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Oh, you should have played that.
Yeah. What about Splenda, though? That's like a whole other thing. That's not aspartame, but it's a sweetener.
Is it not aspartame?
It's not. I don't know what it is, but I know it's not aspartame. It's supposed to be the alternative. That's what I use in my coffee at home.
Oh, okay. Because I've heard that they're all bad. I don't know. I just stay away from everything that's chemical now because... I've just heard so many things, and I'm so distrustful now of corporate America that, you know.
If God wanted my coffee to be sweet, he would have had it come out of a fruit tree.
Exactly.
All right, we got that cleared up. What's your favorite news item of the day?
Oh, my favorite?
Because I don't
so
want
many.
Us to run out of time. Right. The good stuff.
Oh, okay.
I don't know good if stuff, the people who do stuff. That are coming in.
Okay. Well, there's more backstabbing happening in the White House, which makes me happy.
Oh yes. Is this about the Speaker of the House who's very upset right now with the president for raiding Jefferson's office?
Oh gosh, no. Tell us about that one.
This is
something else. There's so much backstabbing.
This
it's
is
great.
A top headline of today.
See, I didn't get the headlines yet
from news.yahoo.com. House Speaker protests to Bush over raid. I'll just read the first paragraph here. It says, House Speaker Dennis Hastert complained directly to President Bush on Tuesday about the FBI's unprecedented raid on Representative William Jefferson's office. While officials said senior Democrats worked to ease the Louisiana lawmaker out of a powerful committee assignment, at least temporarily. Quote, my opinion is that they took the wrong path, Hastert, Republican from Illinois, told reporters after meeting with Bush in the White House. They need to back up, and we need to go from there.
Now, is he a Democrat or a Republican?
Hastert is a Republican. He's Speaker of the House.
I mean, Jefferson.
Oh, Jefferson is a Democrat.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's why they're after him.
Yeah.
I assume.
Yeah.
That's why they're going after him.
Yeah.
Well, there's lots of stuff going on, a lot of arguing, because Sensenbrenner is claiming that the immigration bill, the criminalization of immigrants, was George Bush's idea. And it was George Bush who suggested that the criminalization be added to the bill. But George Bush is denying it now. So he's sort of stabbing Sensenbrenner in the back. And so Sensenbrenner is not very happy with George Bush now. And also Russell Feingold. He and Senator Spector had a little tiff there. Senator Spector insisted that they have another vote over the gay marriage amendment.
Oh, and I love this topic. It's one of my favorite topics.
Is that your favorite topic? Gay marriage.
It's what the Constitution is all about. Banning gay marriage.
Of course. That's why we rebelled from King George.
You know,
remember King George wanted us all to get involved in gay marriage.
Whether or not we were gay. And women voting. That's the only things that ever came out of the Constitution.
Well, Senator Feingold said he opposed the amendment because it violates the Constitution, and Senator Spector just shouted back at him, I'm tired of your lecturing, and if you want to leave, good riddance. And so Senator Feingold said, well, see ya, and he just stormed out.
I just picture Spector going, that's exactly what I like about it, that it defies the Constitution.
And Thomas Hartmann, again, he was commenting on this, and he suggests that the reason why they're bringing this up is to get more Republicans to vote, and so they're thinking that if they go to the polls to vote based on this issue, they'll also vote Republican.
It's an easily divisive issue, and sure, if that was on the ticket, I'm sure that would bring a lot of Republicans out to vote.
Yes.
You attract more votes with hate, something, and more bees with honey, something like that.
Oh,
I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, you can always get people out to vote if you give them something to vote against.
Right, right. Oh, and also, don't forget about SaveTheInternet.com.
Right.
So because I think we still may have time to protest that bill. There's so many things happening in the White House that I don't know whether our congresspeople have had a chance to really vote on that yet. So I think there's still time to protest that, and it's really quite important.
I'm going to bring that up here on our computerized device.
Yes, high-tech kill radio.
It's not SaveTheInternet.com. Is it .org?
Oh, it
must be .org.
Save the Internet. I guess we can always maybe search under Save the Internet.
Oh, you know what? I'm drunk. That was two W's, not
drunk
three.
Again. Oh, it's the aspartame.
It's the aspartame. No, I'm not drunk. And it's not org either. No, wait. It's com. There we go. SaveTheInternet.com. Join the fight for internet freedom.
And we all want freedom.
Yes.
Because a lot of us are on MySpace, and we are sending emails to and from each other, and there are podcasts where we can get all kinds of... There are TV shows now, podcasting and radio shows like this one. And
yeah, you'd actually have to pay to hear this. And let me tell you, it won't be cheap. not with me behind the wheel. Says here, the threat is real. Congress is pushing a law that would abandon the Internet's First Amendment, a principle called network neutrality that prevents companies like AT&T, Verizon, and Comcast from deciding which websites work best for you based on what site pays them the most. If the public doesn't speak up now, our elected officials will cave to a multi-million dollar lobbying campaign. So it's our responsibility to lobby against their lobbying.
We've got to speak out, and we've got to continuously put pressure, I think, on our Congress people. You know, get on their nerves so that they decide, you know, we're so tired of people writing us and emailing us and calling us. You know, this is driving us crazy. You know, let them know every voice really counts. You know, they say you can't fight City Hall, but that's a lie. You can.
Yeah, you just have to fight with persistence.
Right. Speaking of which, 16 people were arrested in Duncan, Oklahoma. They wanted to conduct a citizen's arrest of Halliburton's CEO.
That's funny.
Yeah, that was pretty amusing. Alberto Gonzalez, Attorney General, is not sure if his grandparents were legal when they came to this country.
Uh-oh. That's awkward in his group of friends.
Oh, yeah. We may need to deport him or implant a microchip in him to monitor his whereabouts. You know, he's an immigrant, so.
Who's the... Oh, I can't remember his name. Senator... Who's the senator who speaks out the most, with the most passion against gay marriage?
Oh.
What's his name? Starts with an S.
It's not Arlen Specter, is it?
No. Santorum. Oh. That's what I'm thinking of, Santorum. So I was thinking just like Alberto Gonzalez realizing that his grandparents weren't legal. It would be funny if Santorum, like, you know, realized he was gay.
Oh, yeah, like, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Did it move?
I often think the people who are most against gay marriage are gay.
Well, I mean, that's a common thing. You would think that... people who are repressing some sort of, you know, negative feelings about themselves, and the way that they cope with that is by taking it out on others.
Yeah. Also, in the 9/11 thing, you were mentioning that there was a lot of false 9/11 info.
No, I changed my mind.
Oh, you changed your mind?
It's all true. Since we saw the video, everything's cleared up. We don't need to investigate it anymore. Buildings just fall down sometimes, even if they're not hit by planes.
Right.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, you know, George Bush has such powerful telepathic, you know, energy that I think he can make buildings crash. You know,
have you seen the shit that thinking. David Blaine is able to accomplish?
Oh.
You know, so I'm not, you know. I'm not putting it past Bush. If he can hold his breath for 9 minutes, like David Blaine, then he can bring the towers down without even touching them.
Hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, George Bush has secret powers that we don't even know about.
Yes, controlled demolition of our entire governmental system.
Well, Thomas Hartman mentioned that a New York Times reporter, Judith Miller, knew in July of 2001 that there was going to be a major terrorist attack. She was tipped off by sources, and she said a lot of people in the intelligence community were talking about it. And so she said when September 11th happened, and this Thomas Hartman got this from alternet.org, and she said when September 11th happened that that she thought, oh, this is what they were talking about, the terrorist attack they were talking about. So Tom Hartman was speculating, what did George Bush, Dick Cheney, Condoleezza Rice, what did they know? I mean, if this news reporter knew, they must have known something. And he was speculating on his show, because actually Thomas Hartman had written a book about John F. Kennedy and the Kennedy assassination. And he said that there were a lot of different theories going around at that time, and there were some false theories as to what happened to John F. Kennedy. So he was kind of saying something similar to what you were saying. He was saying, you know, we have to kind of be a little open-minded about different theories as to what could have happened, because he said when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, some of the false theories got a lot of attention, and then people didn't believe some of the more accurate theories afterwards when some theories were proved false. So he was suggesting that it's kind of important to ask the question of what George Bush knew, and that's kind of the important thing, is what did he know and when did he know it? And it does seem clear that he had to have known about the terrorist attack.
It's very important to them to maintain the image of him not having any knowledge, to you know, to explain why he would continue reading My Pet Goat.
Right.
While this was going down.
Exactly, and why he wasn't smuggled out of the building and
yeah,
you
and
know.
In the face of all the absurdity of things like Condoleezza Rice finally confessing that the famous memo said Bin Laden determined to attack the right. the World Trade Center with right. fucking planes. Yeah, I think it's important to ask questions, and I think that's actually an excellent point about JFK that you know like when it. I'm sure when it first happened, everybody and their mother mm-hmm. had a theory, mm-hmm. and some of those theories were so fascinating and so believable that they mm-hmm. became, after repetition, accepted mm-hmm. as truth. And then when, I'm not even saying we know the full truth, but mm-hmm. what history has determined is the truth is probably not the same thing as what people were saying that, you know, the day mm-hmm. after. Mm-hmm. And we haven't really changed our story at all. Since, I mean, immediately it was determined mm-hmm. that it was Bin Laden, that it was these 18 people. Actually, there's a thing today. Bin Laden released a tape recently, another one, in which he mm-hmm. says there's no way Moussaoui could have been the 20th hijacker or whatever it was called.
Oh, really? Well, according to footage that I saw in the Loose Change 2 movie, Bin Laden denied ever having been involved in the September 11th attack.
Yeah, well, that's what was surprising me about these tapes. Like, I have no reason to think that any of them actually come from Bin Laden, but mm-hmm. if they do, then mm-hmm. there's a lot of contradictory statements. And in the last one, it suggests that Al-Qaeda, you know, he has suggested in the past that although he thinks what happened on 9/11 is fantastic, mm-hmm. he won't take credit for it. And in this last one, to me anyway, suggests that he's taking credit for it mm-hmm. simply by saying, hey, there's no way I would do it. You know, he's basically saying, there's no way I would do something that right. disorganized.
Right.
And he pointed out, and actually, again, I mean, who knows where the tape actually came from? You know, mm-hmm. the experts call it Bin Laden, but...
Right, right.
You know, he says there's no way Moussaoui could have been the 20th hijacker or whatever it is he's called mm-hmm. because he was in flight training. And he never would have allowed someone in flight training right. to be in. Everybody on the plane knew what they were doing.
Right.
There were like two levels of operators and assistants, they were called, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Moussaoui wasn't at the clearance level for either of those things. So
right.
he never would have been allowed into that group of people.
And it would have been a complicated flight, right? It would have been a complicated plane to maneuver, wouldn't it? To
well, yeah.
hijack it
so
and to...
Maybe the intention know. Was there. And I don't know if you can convict someone on the intention to commit a crime. I mean, mm-hmm. there is attempted murder. Maybe he wanted to be the 20th hijacker. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was interesting that you know, now that it's public and he's mm-hmm. been put in jail for life, Bin Laden comes out with a tape saying, now you guys got it all wrong. No. I mean, he likes Al-Qaeda and everything, and we throw him a bone every once in a while, but we never would have put him on that plane because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Oh, I have some funny news. I think it's funny. David Gregory is an NBC News reporter. He asked George Bush recently about the fact that Americans, about 70% of Americans, disapprove of the job that he's doing. He said, George Bush, your disapproval rating is 1 point lower than Nixon's was. And guess what George Bush's response was? He laughed. And so David Gregory asked him, why are you laughing? And George Bush responded by saying, well, we're at war and war unsettles people. So David Gregory persisted and said, well, you know, it looks like at least 70% of Americans are disapproving of your job. He repeated the question and George Bush just repeated the answer. People are unsettled. They're mm-hmm. unsettled. So that's another word along with the decider.
Oh,
he's got
that's
his
good.
Little,
yeah.
you know, his little...
War kind of riles you up a little bit. It does. It's it's mildly uncomfortable when a bomb falls on your head. Yeah. As Stephen Colbert put it, what this means is that 70% of Americans approve of the job he's not doing.
Exactly.
So there's a silver lining to every toxic dust cloud.
And I have some more poverty news. In 1976, I got this from the Thomas Hartman show. In 1976, the richest 10% of Americans owned 50%, about half of the country's wealth. But by 1997, the richest 10% of Americans owned 75% of the country's wealth, an increase of 25%.
Wow.
And 2000, the top 1% of Americans owned their financial wealth was greater than that of the bottom 95% of all Americans' income combined. Also, in 1983, 50 corporations controlled the media, and some people were concerned about that, that there were only 50 corporations.
This was what year?
1983. And some people were concerned that there were only 50 corporations controlling the media. Some people were concerned about that number.
And now we have...
Well, in 1992, fewer than two dozen operated 90% of the media. And today, about five. Close. Five companies control the media. Well, I'm sure
I think it's going to be three. Yeah. What is it? Like, because they keep merging. Is it Time Warner just swallowed another one, I think. Sony, Viacom... I don't know either.
It's really...
I think Halliburton should get into the media more.
I'm sure they are somehow affiliated with some company that owns some...
I think there should be a Halliburton channel. That'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah, that would be interesting.
All sorts of, like, Mideast oil-related sitcoms.
Oh gosh! I blew up some Iraqis today. Oh yeah, well I blew up some Iranis.
Wah, 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 wah. And then it cuts to a commercial for like a gas mask.
Right. Do we have time for more news?
Yeah, let's keep going. It looks like the people who do that won't be able to make it in today. So we'll go over a few minutes and then we'll put on a pre-recorded show, National Corporate Radio show.
Okay.
On their behalf.
Corporate radio.
The people who do that do a delightful program called National Corporate Radio.
National Corporate Radio.
Yeah, which is a wonderful send-off of NPR in a very respectful way.
Oh, really? They're respectful? Oh, darn.
So what more news do you have?
Let's see.
I'm going to see if I can...
I also got from Tom Hartman also... This has to do with the Securities Exchange Act, which basically requires that companies must be truthful. They must operate with transparency. And that includes those telecommunications companies that revealed information about our phone records to the government recently.
Ah, yes.
Those companies are required by the Securities Exchange Act to be honest with us Americans and tell us about everything that they're doing. So according to that law, they would be required to reveal to us Americans, yes, we've given your telephone records to the government. However, George Bush did something that's very similar to something that Nixon, that had been done around the Nixon administration.
Lied?
Yeah, that too, yes. On May 5th, he issued a memo to John Negroponte, the Director of National Intelligence, which granted him the authority and power of the president in regards to the Security Exchange Commission. And what Tom Hartman, who's very, very intelligent person, explained on his show is that what that means is that essentially John Negroponte could act sort of like the president and have the powers of the president. So that he could basically tell those companies that they should lie about whether or not they concealed transactions.
And that guy is psycho. You don't want Negroponte doing much of anything. This is the same guy who was ambassador in Central America, and we had death squads walking around Honduras, killing nuns and journalists and stuff like that.
Well, isn't it great to know that he's director of our national intelligence? And so essentially, now those telecommunications companies are saying, "Oh, we didn't give any information to the government."
Oh gosh.
So there's some speculation here that they may have been told to lie. And if the government tells you to lie, what are you going to do? If John Negroponte tells you,
it would be dishonest to tell the truth.
I guess
if the government tells you to lie and you tell the truth, that makes you unpatriotic and a liar.
Oh, right. And a terrorist.
And terrorist.
Too?
Makes you any number of things. I'm going to play a little video file about this... Jefferson character we were just talking about.
Okay.
So we can figure out what's going on with him.
All right.
I know there's extraordinary interest in the matters at hand regarding me.
He's black, too.
And, yes. I've come here...
Black and Democrat.
I recognize that. And because I
They said they found some money or
as
something
available
like
to you
that. You know, like he embezzled
as
something,
be.
And that's there was their excuse for raiding his office.
As you know, there's a criminal investigation going on regarding this.
Videotape and, accepting bribes from
my lawyers have advised me not to discuss, and I will not discuss, any of the alleged facts in the case. That would be extraordinarily foolhardy and to avoid their advice, and therefore I will not do that. I do want to say to you, however, that there are two sides to every story. There are certainly two sides to this story. There will be an appropriate time and forum when that can be explained and explicated. But this is not the time, this is not the forum, and operating on advice of counsel, I will not get into facts.
This guy was set up. Boy, does he look set up.
It sounds like it. And you know, the Fourth Amendment, I wonder if the Fourth Amendment was violated in this case.
Mm.
Can I read the Fourth Amendment?
I'd love for you to read the Fourth Amendment.
Because it's something that's being violated a lot right now.
And then we'll play the new Bin Laden tape. It's only 33 seconds here.
Should be interesting. The Fourth Amendment states, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Unquote. So, in other words, they're not supposed to search anything of yours unless they have someone had sworn on oath or affirmation that they definitely, you know, that there's definitely something criminal involved. So do you think that happened in this case?
Well, you know, the Constitution was written before 9/11. So that's a very pre-9/11 way of looking at things.
I see.
So. But yeah, it sounds to me like exactly what you're saying. That, well, and so, you know, like wiretapping civilians right. without getting the appropriate warrants. I mean, this is something, you know, they're constantly, it's like the velociraptors in Jurassic Park. They're testing the fences systematically for weaknesses. Right. So they're just going to keep breaking laws until one of them gets caught breaking a really big law. And then they go, okay, that was too far. In the meantime, they're just going to break all the laws they can and then see if they can get away with it. And then, you know, if they get caught, they'll use the whole 9/11 thing as the excuse.
Right.
You know, well,
Al-Qaeda.
Well, things have to change, and, you know. Here's what Al-Qaeda has to say about the state of affairs.
Okay, I want to hear their point of view.
I'm waiting for this MasterCard commercial to finish, and then I can see what the Associated Press says about Bin Laden here. Just a second.
I'm really interested in what Bin Laden has to say, especially since he's dead, I understand.
Yes.
This is breaking news from the Associated Press. A new audio tape has emerged on the internet purported to be from Osama bin Laden. On the tape, the speaker says Zacharias Moussaoui had nothing to do with the 9/11 attacks. The voice on the tape says, I am the one in charge of the 19 brothers, and I never assigned Brother Zacharias to be with them in that mission. Two counterterrorism officials who spoke on condition of anonymity tell the Associated Press they are aware of the tape, and one says there is no reason to doubt its authenticity. Carlotta Bradley, the...
Okay, then. You know, that's just
the NSA.
Yeah.
Somehow.
No, but that, like you said before, he initially denied any involvement. And this tape says that, you know, he's in charge of the 19 brothers. And Moussaoui is not the 20th. But, you know, it's like this tape shows up and they say there's no reason to doubt its authenticity. So that makes it the voice of bin Laden. That's all it takes, right?
And why is this tape showing up now? And just like the 9/11 tape that you played last week.
Well, I think it's actually very good timing. So we convict Moussaoui, we put him in prison for life. And then, you know, we have this thing released where it's like we remind our audience, that is the American people, bin Laden is still out there. We have to keep this war, this fight against terrorism. We're winning by putting Moussaoui in prison. We've upset bin Laden. And look, now he's making up this bullshit about Moussaoui not being involved, which we know isn't true. Yeah. So bin Laden's out there, but he's also very weak, you know? And it's like on cop shows where they do the press conferences and they try to humiliate the rapists so that he, you know, attacks again and they can catch him. Yeah. It's the same sort of thing. I think, except that bin Laden doesn't exist.
So who is this mysterious person posing as Bin Laden?
Bin Laden is all terrorism. Just right. Just like I am all liberals.
Right. Ah, it's a mystery. You know, sometimes I wonder if George Bush exists. You know? I mean, is he real? Is that a real person speaking? Or, you know, it could be a robot. It could be...
Or Siri, it could be like a whole bunch of mirrors or whatever that make it look like a president. But right. But when it speaks, it's actually just nonsense.
And it just malfunctions a lot.
Yes. I'm going to seek out a... people who do that file to play. In the meantime, do we have another news segment?
Yes, there's lots of news. Well, this is slightly off the track, but it's a little related. The former deputy mayor of Mayor Giuliani of New York, Rudy Washington, had worked on the 9/11 disaster site for several weeks following the falling of the towers. And now he's suffering from a respiratory illness. He's been granted workers' comp and because he's gotten asthma and other respiratory problems after 9/11. Awesome. So he filed a medical claim, and he won, and is now getting that getting the workers' comp. But Mayor Bloomberg is appealing. And, of course...
I've always found Mayor Bloomberg to be appealing. Sorry.
Well, it's interesting because Giuliani had said that there were no health problems resulting from 9/11, and of course the EPA, the Environmental Protection Association, had told people that it was safe to come back to work following September 11th, and lots of people have gotten sick and some people have died who worked in the disaster site. And so now this is proof that the debris had not been completely cleared and that it has been causing health problems.
It's not surprising. It's not surprising at all. My cousin lives on across the street from the South Street Seaport, just a few blocks from the World Trade Center. And he was home when 9/11 happened. And he's got a great 9/11 story. But anyway, they gave him, the government gave them new air conditioners.
Oh.
Yeah, because the air conditioners were old and not filtering the air as well as a new one could. But that was pretty much, I guess, their solution to solving the air quality. And he was just a few blocks away, so the air quality must have been really bad for a really long time. He said the smell stayed in the air for, you know, like months.
Did he get sick? Has he gotten any
health? He didn't get sick or anything like that, no. And I don't know if the air conditioners helped or not. But yeah, it doesn't surprise me that the... It must have... In their defense, I mean, it must be very expensive to clean the air of a major metropolitan city when something like that happens.
But there's plenty of money for the war.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Is where they've really screwed up is in their misappropriation of funds. And it's true of all these things. You know, it's like, yeah, it is really expensive to manage healthcare in this country or manage education. Yeah, but there's plenty of money for the war. There's, you know, we can afford to give tax cuts to the wealthiest. But yeah, in reality, it's the money's there. It's just going to all the wrong people. Well, Starsky, are you gonna people who do it up?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we'll give him a minute or so to load his show up. What else do we have? Let's keep going.
Okay, well, the phones of some news reporters from ABC, The Washington Post, and The New York Times are being tapped by the government because the government wants to find out who's leaking information to the media.
Ah.
So they're tapping the phones of some journalists, which is a little scary from the point of view of freedom of speech, something that some people still believe in.
There's a lawsuit going on right now, but there's something like 25 people who are suing because they say they have evidence that their phone companies, AT&T and some of the other phone companies, have given out their personal information to the government. By personal information, I mean like the people that they've called and things like that. You know, this is clearly illegal, and the phone companies are denying that there's even been a request for this information, and the plaintiffs are actually saying, well, that they somehow have proof of this. And I wish I could remember just any of the names in this, but I saw on CNN just the other day that they were interviewing the main legal defense, or rather the main legal prosecutor for these people. And the news anchor, it was so interesting because she was so hell-bent on trying to get him to say that it was a big waste of time for which he had no evidence.
Oh, really?
Like, every question she asked. And I don't know why she would do... I mean, this was CNN. This wasn't, like, even a... I don't even think of this as, like, a hugely hot-button issue. They weren't debating the war or anything like that. But it was so clear that her producer had explained to her that the intent of the interview was to make him look like a fool. Because they were not questions that were seeking information. It was sort of like, but don't you think that blah, 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 blah. But if, since the phone company denied this happening, why even bother? Blah, 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 blah. You know, and I just think it's the subtle little things that they do in the major media. When they say that they're interviewing someone, when really what they're doing, you know, it's right, like saying, right. It's like when Rush Limbaugh has a liberal on his on his show. He's not really having a liberal on his show. He's having someone on his show that represents a different viewpoint, but then he's skewing his questions so that they can never really say what it is that they're there to say.
Right.
Bill O'Reilly is probably the greatest master at this, except he sometimes shows his weakness when he can't figure out a way to paint a liberal into a corner. He just tells him to shut up.
You know, it would just be funny if we could somehow call Bill O'Reilly on the show.
Yeah.
So just to have him say to us, we're going to send Fox Security after
you. Oh, we should get Bill O'Reilly on the show. And we should interview him on killradio.org. I think that's a fantastic idea.
That would be hilarious.
And we'll send... See, we couldn't send Kill Radio security to Bill O'Reilly's house, though. Because it would have to go through the consensus process, which takes about 5 months.
That's a tough thing when you have a democratic system, you know.
Well, this isn't... It's not a collectivist system. In a democracy, majority rules.
Oh, I see.
And in a collective... Everybody has to agree or refrain from voting.
Did you ever see the Monty Python movie, The Holy Grail?
Sure.
Oh, well, that's like that scene where the guy talks about we're an autonomous collective.
An anarcho-syncratic diplomacy.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I think we actually have that's actually... Let's listen to the Bill O'Reilly thing, because I actually have it here loaded up. It's pretty funny. See if it plays.
Never mind.
Okay.
Should be here. I think Bennett put this in the file to play.
Orlando, Florida. Mike, go.
Hey, Bill. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
I like to listen to you during the day. I think Keith Olbermann's show.
There you go. Mike is he's a gone guy. You know, we have your phone numbers, by the way. So if you're listening, Mike, we have your phone number, and we're going to turn it over to Fox Security. And you'll be getting a little visit.
Maybe Mike is from the mothership.
No, maybe Mike's going to get in big trouble. Because we're not going to play around. When you call us, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, we do have your phone number. And if you say anything untoward, obscene, or anything like that, Fox Security, then we'll contact your local authorities.
Okay. Okay.
I think that sets the scene nicely.
Okay, so that sets the scene for this ad. We got a new sponsor, and it is Fox Security. Let's play it.
That's fantastic. Yeah, well, fuck Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah. Did you just utter an obscenity?
Oh, no, it's the Kill Radio Security, and they're here to beat me with feathers and pillows.
And the comfy chair.
They're here to beat me with their devout sense of righteousness and fairness. So, Starsky, what are you going to play for us today? You have some new NCR? Some Corntado?
If you stick around, it could be live.
No. Would you have a new script?
Yeah.
All right, well, we're gonna sign off the Kill Radio News. Any last bits? Anything you want to throw out there?
Don't forget to protest. Yeah, save the internet, the COPE bill. Don't forget to protest it. And please keep pressuring your Congress people.
Yes. Oh, and the Peace Alliance.
Peace Alliance.
Com, I think. It's com or org, which is a campaign to establish a U.S. Department of Peace. And thank you, Jen Sincero, for allowing me to interview on that. And we'll be back next week with more Kill Radio news. Stick around for National Corporate Radio.
In Chief. That's the clever new title that Democratic Senator Harry Reid has given to President Bush after court documents recently made public from Scooty Libby's trial seemed to show that the president authorized the leak of classified New York Times reporter. For a president who has gone out of his way to criticize leaks,